Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcos, all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig. Here's
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, 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 good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio, our Sunday night get-together right here on Sirius XM Channel 167 and on racetimeradio.com. Hope you're having a great weekend. To all of our U.S. listeners, you're full of turkey, I can bet. What a weekend for you guys. And happy Thanksgiving to all of our U.S. listeners. Good on you guys. You had a great weekend. The Macy's Parade went. The balloons went in the air. And tonight, we got a green flag going in the air. We're going to talk racing for the next 2 hours, right here on Racetime Radio. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the RTR studio. What's going on, kiddo?
Hey, it was a good weekend.
No turkey for you this weekend.
No, didn't have any turkey, of course, up here, but we got a little bit of winter action today.
Yeah, a little bit.
Everything did down south, too. Everything turned white here.
Yeah.
In dramatic fashion, but hopefully everybody's safe out on the roads tonight, but in all across Ontario, really. Yeah, it was a good weekend. Got a chance to sit down and watch the NASCAR Pinty Series Year in Review.
Yeah, nice job.
Yeah,
nice job.
Great job, Joel? By those guys and
Davey,
like Joel,
it?
And yeah, yep. Godfather Moody on there.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool to look back on what was 2019 and see everything that took place.
Yeah, and you know what? I think of the U.S. Thanksgiving weekend, I got to think back to when you were down in Charlotte. I remember seeing the picture, you all dressed up with this apron on, and you looked like you were the tinfoil man.
We had Friendsgiving. I'm not used to Thanksgiving being so late in the year, so it was different for me when I was down there.
Yeah, but, you and Nick dunking a turkey into that big turkey fryer thing.
It was a lot of fun.
It was good, too, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. If you haven't deep-fried a turkey, you're missing out.
Yeah, well, I've never done that. We'll have to do that one year.
Yep.
Yeah. Let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. We're going to talk more than turkey. I can guarantee you that. First up, we're going to try and connect with Mr. Bob Dillner of Speed51.com. Of course, the 52nd annual Snowball Derby comes up next weekend in Pensacola, Florida. I know we got a lot of Canadians heading down to it. Hell, we got a lot of Americans going to be in that race. It's going to be huge once again this year, Junior.
Yeah, definitely. The Snowball Derby, you know, we get up for it every year. It's definitely an exciting weekend. And, you know, it seems like, two-thirds of the racing community from up here go down there just to take it in to watch.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
never usually a big contingent of competitors from Canada on track. There's usually some noteworthy ones. And this year, you know, same deal. You've got Cole Butcher from Canada and then as well Jerry Artuso lined up to take part in the Derby.
Yep.
To try to qualify their way in. So that'll be really interesting. There's obviously a lot. What a heavy hitting list! It's the same every year.
There's always
the who's who of late model racing, super late model racing, and then as well, guys from the upper tiers of NASCAR and ARCA and all of that. So really, when you take the Derby in, there's everything from, you know, guys that are just cutting their teeth to right up to the top level, and just a phenomenal weekend every single year, and I love the Derby.
Well, we're going to talk more about that in just mere moments. Also want to let you know we got Luke Ramsey, president of the APC Series, coming on tonight. 2020 schedule is released. We're going to have Terry Watts from the Can-Am Midgets also on the show tonight. Their schedule has been launched. We're going to hear from Taylor Thring. She is the PR for the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup. Their 2020 schedule is launched. And just to spin things a little bit from talking schedules, we got Samantha Shaw going to come on the show. Ladies on the Oval. If you don't know what that is, Stay tuned. Samantha Shaw is going to fill you all in on that tonight. But what do you say, Junior? We get to the hotline, and let's continue the discussion about the 52nd Annual Snowball Derby with a guy that has probably been, maybe not to all of them, but to virtually all of them, and he's been bringing it right to us. If you can't make the Snowball Derby, you can always count on speed51.com to make sure that you can at least watch in and enjoy the Derby. Let's welcome in the president of Speed 51. We got Bob Dillner on the hotline. Bobby, happy Thanksgiving, my friend. How are you?
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Now, you made me sound real old there, okay? This race began in 1968. I wasn't even born yet.
Okay, but you have been to, like, a ton of these snowball derbies, Bob.
Yeah, I've been to almost 20 now.
Wow.
The 52 snowball derbies. And the moment I got to the Panhandle of Florida, I remember back in, what was it, 01 or something like that, my brother and I, by the request of Gary St. Amant, he said, come on down to Snowball Derby. And we came down, we got here on Friday, and wound up sitting on the roof of the tower that year and watching Wayne Anderson win the race. And in the middle of the race, we had this thing called Speed 51. Actually, it was 51 Sports Racing back then. And I said, you know what? We're here, instead of just being fans, we should probably cover this thing. He's like, yeah, I'll go take some pictures. And I interviewed the winner, and that's how the coverage for Speed 51 began of the Snowball Derby back in 2001.
Isn't that amazing? It goes all the way back to then. Bob, think back to that first race that you were at. Is the Derby pretty well today what it was back then, or has it grown exponentially?
Well, it has certainly evolved, because when I walked in 2001, I remember it was right in the middle of qualifying, and I walked down in the infield, and when I got down there, I'm like, what is that smell? And back then, tire soaking was legal, and literally everybody in the pit area had these double and triple stack rotisseries. So it was like tires were like chickens on these rotisseries just going through all the tire soak, and they had so many different variations of tire soak, one for, you know, 50 laps, one for 25 laps, and then I remember Rich Bickle had one, a five-lap set of tires, because they were really soaked. So that's all gone. Obviously, you know, racing's trying to get a little bit greener, so to speak. And so all that chemical stuff is gone. The race has evolved, but the notoriety surrounding the Snowball Derby, the feel, the vibe, the flavor the fans get here when they get to Five Flag Speedway during the Snowball Derby weekend has really changed through the years. The Midway is packed this year. We're bringing in, Speed 51 is bringing in big screens for all the fans in attendance. One pointed out turns one and two, and one for the front stretch. We got NASCAR Heat 4 simulators down in the Midway. There's T-shirts galore and food. It's kind of getting to be that carnival-like atmosphere, and it's the perfect situation for everybody. I mean, from folks that are up by you guys to all across America, you know, you can come down to Snowball. One last chance. We're using the hashtag, one more race, and that's in the Panhandle of Florida before everybody goes into hibernation in terms of the racing people for the winter.
Yeah, for at least, 4 or 5 weeks, and then everybody seems to crawl back out, reloaded and ready to go for another full season of racing. But when I think Snowball Derby, Bob, I always think Speed 51, and I tell you that back in the earlier days, I would tune in and I would listen to that Snowball Derby, and I was glued to the radio as I'm trying to set my Christmas tree in the stand and take it into the house. And I can remember Susie coming out saying, what is taking so long with the tree? And I'm saying, well, I can't leave yet. Listen, we've only got 15 laps to go. Just wait. It's one of those events that really has garnered international attention now. And a lot of that has to do with Speed 51 and what your dream has always been. Kind of cool when you can see all those dreams starting to be realized.
It really is. It's really neat. And, you know, now we have the opportunity to do even more with our new group for Speed 51, with a lot of the, you know, the NASCAR owners and so forth, part of our organization. So we're excited about all that. What we can do with events like the Snowball Derby. This place is special. The event is the granddaddy of all late model races in North America. There's a lot of great ones. But there's just something about the perfect storm that is the Snowball Derby on the first weekend of December every year down here in Pensacola, Florida. And it's special. I get goosebumps all the time. And this place really has become a mecca for short track racing. Everybody, the people in the NASCAR garage area, I've been on podcasts and radio shows and TV shows this week, all across America, talking about the Snowball Derby. And that hashtag, one more race, is just a perfect way to describe really what it is before we retire to our slumber, so to speak, for the winter for a couple of weeks. But this place, you know, think about the winners that have won this thing. And then you think about those who have, you know, come here and lost. Rusty Wallace, former NASCAR champion, on the front row, you know, back in, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s. And he did not win. And I could tell you, being at a banquet when I was a guest speaker one time, and Rusty was in, and he was going to speak as well. And I mentioned him, and I was just coming a week prior. I was at Five Flags Speedway for the Snowball Derby, and they introduced me that way. And I said, Rusty's here. And yeah, it was cool being down at the Snowball Derby. I saw his son, Stephen Wallace, who is actually a former winner of the Snowball Derby. Rusty, he's got you beat by one thing, and you should have seen the smoke coming out of his ears. Because honestly, you talk to Rusty, and it still bothers him. Man, I had a good hot rod that day, and we were wide-ass open, and man, we had bad luck and didn't win it that day. But it bothers him. And that's what I love about this, is the passion that so many people have. Dale Jr. watches. Kyle Busch was down here testing with his driver a couple of weeks ago. You know, there will be a bunch of people with their attention on Five Flags Speedway in this tiny half-mile facility on December 5th through the 8th.
Bob, you touched on the carnival atmosphere, and we talk a lot about, you know, the event side of things and bringing the magic to an event. And I want to get your take on it. How come there aren't more? And I know that there's, you know, a certain luster to what the Snowball Derby is, and it's, you know, historic, and there's, it's been built over time. What is the magic allure? How do we create more Snowball Derby type events in short track racing across North America?
Well, number one, and so many people like call me and say, Bob, hey, we want to do something with 351. We want you in the house. We want the Snowball Derby treatment. And the number one thing that I tell them is, like, listen, there's only one Snowball Derby. So it's very difficult to replicate what the staff here at Five Flags Speedway does, because they do such a good job, but also, you know, how we engage things as well. But I believe we have the opportunity. You know, if you look at what we're going to do at Gresham Motorsports Park in Georgia on May 16th and 17th next year, we're bringing the track back to life. It's the first time in 7 years that that beautiful half-mile facility is going to have a race, and it's going to be big. And we're going to have a carnival-like atmosphere. And we're going to have a concert the night before. And we're going to have a big old-fashioned party to bring back short track racing to its roots, so to speak. The effort just needs to be made. And sometimes, you know, owners, promoters, that sort of thing, they're just gun-shy because they know, listen, if they plan all this stuff and Mother Nature interferes or something else, they could be at a loss. It's a big risk for these promoters to do these things. And you know, honestly, I understand it 100%. So I'm certainly not trying to be a salesman of what we're doing, but now with our cool opportunities that we have with the structure of Speed 51, we're going to get involved in some of these events. And we're going to bring life back to the midways. And we're going to have a different pizzazz. And look at what we're doing here and providing big screens, you know, in the infield. And we're going to bring back that electricity and little campaigns. You can see your picture if you're in the grandstands here. Tweet it out. We'll show it on the big screen. Different stuff like that, and getting media involved and getting, you know, the education systems around the racetracks and giving out free tickets and so forth. That's what we're going to do with Speed 51 with some of the people that we partner with on some of these races. So honestly, you know, we haven't talked about it much, probably talked about it more here on this show than we have anywhere else. But we're really excited about what we're going to do because we all have a passion for short track racing with Speed 51.
Absolutely.
That's really cool. You know, Bob, I was watching Snowcross over, the last 10 years. I've been watching Snowcross in the winter to get things fired up. And the ISOC bunch has been streaming their races for a long time. And one thing that I would always enjoy watching when I'm watching those ISOC races is the fan interaction and reaction. The announcers would be live in the grandstand, of course, calling the race. But in between the races, they would have the cameras a lot on those race fans. And to see the reaction of a lot of them, I'm telling you, priceless and really enthusiastic. That was a cool part to that. That would be cool to see as well on Speed 51. I love the idea.
Hey, listen, we're on Thursday night here on our pay-per-view broadcast. And for people that can watch the big screens that are in attendance for the three technically local divisions that are here. I think we have Pure Stocks, we have Sportsman, and Trucks on Thursday night. And for those that are in attendance here and watching on our screen, we're even going to have a kiss cam, okay? and I'll have the camera, and I'll be going up to people trying to make them kiss. And, you know, we did it a little bit last year here without the help of a big screen, but now they're going to be able to see themselves as well. So I think it'll be special. It'll be engaging. And I'm just really excited. I'm really excited about going to places like Jocasta Motor Speedway next year. I think what they're doing up there is good for short track racing in North America. I think with the purse, they've established that they're ready and they're willing to do something big. And I think, you know, Alex and his staff are working real hard. We're excited to go back and do some bigger things with them next year and maybe even make that place more alive than it was even this past year.
By the way, the fight, you know, that happened in qualifying between House and I think it was the number 14. I don't know who was the 62, William Hale. I don't know how many views you guys got on that video, but it had to be right up there in terms of how many people viewed that fight. Like there was quite a few.
It wasn't quite the Stephen Nassy, you know, amount of years when he goes and fights somebody or something, but it certainly was. And that you know, that's becoming one of those crown jewel events up there at Jocasta. It's just a gorgeous facility. They keep on making improvements. And those are the type of events that we need. We need small events, but we need the big events. And not everybody can be big. And it's okay to have small events too for your local communities and so forth. So I think if we realize that, we can do good things. Scott Bloomquist told me last year, he said, listen, you know, some of the big leagues of racing are struggling right now, but short track racing is alive and it's going to get better and better. And we need to take that opportunity, all of us, to do our part to make it better. So stop talking negatively. Let's talk positively about what you see good at a racetrack, or whether you're watching on a stream or in person or whatever it is, rather than just always just complaining on social media about certain things. Because I see a lot of good, like Scott Bloomquist does, in short track racing, and it's up to us to take advantage of that.
We're with Bob Dillner tonight. He is the president of Speed51.com, and if you can't make the 52nd annual Snowball Derby that's going to take place this coming weekend in Pensacola, Florida at Five Flags Speedway, good news is Bob and his staff are going to be there, and you're going to be able to catch the whole thing right from the comfort of your couch on your television set. Bob, how do fans do it if they're brand new and just hearing of Speed51.com now? How do they get the broadcast?
We made it really simple this year, honestly. We finally got smart after like 19 years in business. That's been the lifespan of Speed 51 to this date. We made it simple for everybody. Just go to speed51.com/snowball derby, and you can order the pay-per-view ticket there. And when you see the prices, some people go, oh, man, that's a lot. Well, listen, think about it. We understand people can't get down here. We want people here. We'd rather you be in attendance at Five Flags Speedway than buying a pay-per-view ticket. But our pay-per-view ticket actually matches the four-day reserve ticket price here at Five Flags. And Tim Bryant wanted to make sure, you know, when we did this, that it was pretty similar. And that's what we've always done, is we match that ticket price. So 4 days for $79.99, that's not too shabby, honestly, if you think about it. Because, you know, if you can't make it for family reasons or, you know, kids or job or whatever, at least you still get to see a great race.
Yeah, and you get all 4 days of racing, which is just amazing. It all kicks off, so coverage is going to begin, what, Thursday, right?
Well, we got a lot of stuff going on. Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Time, we'll have a bull ring episode live on location here from Five Flags Speedway. Tuesday night, we're going to be down at Beef O'Brady's, just down the road at Nine Mile Road here in Pensacola, and with a live, boring show, Snowball Derby kickoff show. We're going to have, I think we already have slated like 17 drivers coming down and their teams, going to be hanging out with the fans. Wednesday, we have the PFC qualifying drawdown, where the drivers come up and they pick their qualifying spots for Friday's emotional qualifying here at Five Flag Speedway. That'll be live. That's all free, okay? And then Thursday starts all the on-track activity. And we'll have every late model practice session qualifying race, plus all the local features at night as well, just by going to speed51.com/snowballderby.
All right, Bob, we're going to hit fast forward now. And going back to your point about, you know, the new partnership and bringing, you know, different events to life, I have to inject an idea here. You guys need to purchase Pub 44 and make Pub 44 the way that it was so that Speed Weeks comes back to life. How about that?
I can barely talk for a living. I don't know if I'm going to get into the restaurant business, although I've always told my wife someday I want to own a restaurant. She said, you're crazy.
Well, Pub 44 is the one.
You only need it for 9 days? 9 days.
That's it.
Yeah, we'll just bring Pub 44 back. We'll bring all the great modified and super late model drivers back in New Smyrna, Florida for Florida Speed Weeks, and we'll have a big old party there every night. That would definitely sell some tickets for sure, because people would come to party with the people, but they'd also come to see everybody fight as well.
I had so many good times at Pub 44.
I got goosebumps right now.
You know, after the race, you know, we of course on a crew, you know, you come in and you're sweaty and you're dirty, and instead of going back to the hotel, you go straight to Pub 44 from the racetrack. And you know, the times that we had where we would get there, and I have no idea how fast they got the video or the VHS tape
Bob
from that
night.
He had it in his pocket. I mean, the features were just done, and it's only 15 minutes away from the racetrack. We would literally, as soon as the last checkered flag would drop, we would rush out of there to get a table, and you guys would have it on every screen in the place, and there we would close that place down every single time. If they took Canadian money, that would be another thing. We would spend it all. But I tell you what, we had some good times at Pub 44, and it was usually because of you guys.
I tell you what, you know what was interesting there is, you know, back in the day, you could soak your tires to some degree at New Smyrna Speedway, but you couldn't go past a point on the durometer. And then, you know, Junior Hanley got busted, you know, Dan Fredrickson got busted. And then the talk would go to Pub 44 and how they were going to do it for the next night, get right on that edge, but not go over so they wouldn't get busted by the officials. So, you know, the talk there, not only the food and watching the races again, but the talk there was always so entertaining.
Absolutely.
Bobby, we've so thoroughly enjoyed this conversation tonight. I got one final question for you, brother. I need you to give us your pick for the winner of the 2019 Snowball Derby. Is that putting you on the hot seat or what?
It is kind of putting me on the hot seat, because honestly, I usually tell everybody I don't pick until after qualifying for the Snowball Derby, because I want to see the cars on track. Can I give you three?
Yep.
I'll give you three people. Okay.
That's copping out.
I'm going to say my pick is coming down between three people, and there's a bunch of people that could win. But, I mean, the sentimental favorite right now, for me at least, is Bubba Pollard. We've been spending a lot of time with him. We're building a network television show about him. We're going to actually reveal where that television show is going to be and the name of the program. And he's the first of a series of racers that we're going to follow and put on network television on a documentary style. So Bubba Pollard, who has, you know, won everything in short track racing, the most decorated late model driver in North America over the last decade. Can he win his first Snowball Derby? He's one of the favorites. Ty Majeski, who's come so close.
Oh, yeah.
The guy out of Wisconsin, driver in the Xfinity and the Truck Series and NASCAR the past couple of years. He's been close. He could do it. I think he's a favorite. And then you got the wild card. And I believe the wild card is Steven Nassy. Yeah. Will he be classy Nassy? Will he be nasty Nassy? You never know. We've seen both here at Five Flag Speedway. And I think, honestly, with his big triumph there in the Winchester 400 and how good he's been at other racetracks lately, I believe Steven Nassy has got to be one of the top three in terms of favorites going into this race. So I'll give you that. I'll narrow it down later on, but I'm saying Pollard, Majeski, and Nassi. I didn't go out on a limb for those, but those are my three favorites going into the race.
Okay, so those three, fans, keep your eye on those three. You know for sure that they're going to be somewhere up in there, but there's so many good competitors that are going to be in the Snowball Derby, the Snowflake, all the qualifying, everything leading up to it. It's all available, speed51.com. If you can't be there, you got to be on speed51.com, and you can't miss this, the final race of 2019. Bob Dillner, thank you for your time tonight on Racetime Radio. Have a great weekend. Any sign of the forecast? Is it looking good for Florida?
Well, for us down here in the south, it might be a little bit chilly. It's supposed to be cooler temperatures in that low 50 range. But I know from you guys way up from where you're from, you'd probably have your bathing suits on and stuff. So we hope you enjoy everything on Speed 51. And we're going to be enjoying the sunshine here in the panhandle of Florida this coming weekend at Five Flags Speedway.
You'll be able to pick the Canadians out. Trust me. You'll see them. Yeah. Bob, thanks so much for this. And have yourself a great Snowball Derby. And I know we'll catch up with you again throughout the course of the off season. And get that next event. And we'll find out what's happening.
Absolutely, and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everyone.
Absolutely. That's Bob Dillner, president of Speed51.com, and going to be a big weekend, Junior. Huge coming up. You don't want to miss it.
Absolutely. Surprised by the picks. I know we got to go to break. We'll on the other side of the break, you and I got to give our picks as well, and one of the other things is a surprise because he picked three racers on the short track level.
Yeah.
Didn't go with Corey LaJoie, didn't go with Harrison Burton, didn't go with those guys. Surprising names that he picked. I mean, they're not out on a limb, though. They're very competitive, and they're going to be right up front.
To the first break we go on the other side. We will catch up with the president of the United Late Model Series, the APC Series. We got Luke Ramsey coming up to talk 2020 next.
Yeah, this Canada stuff, I'm not quite made for this.
Hi, race fans. This is Brad Keselowski. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt-Low, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
There's 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. You know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest
DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, right here in the Racetime Radio studio and on Sirius XM Channel 167. Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the studio, and now back to the hotline. What do you say we talk 2020?
Are we not going to give the picks first?
We will. We're going to
give the picks first.
Well, no, I want to include Luke in it because I know he's going to have a pick.
You're going to give him picks, too?
I am.
Everybody gets picks.
Hang on. You'll see.
All right,
let's welcome in our guest. We have the president of the APC series. We got Luke Ramsey on the hotline. What's going on there, Mr. Luke? How you doing?
Not a lot tonight. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, doing well. Did you get any snow down your way? Man, we got a lot up here.
Yeah, it's mostly freezing rain here. A lot of slush, a lot of ice.
Ah, man. Well, I guess it's that time of the year, right? We got to have a little of that to make snowballs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, incredible. I see you guys have been working real hard at APC with the series. You got your schedule already done. We're all set and ready to go for 2020. This is great news.
Yeah, looking forward to it. The rule book's out and the schedule's out. Kind of get a couple of months off here where we just worry about lining some marketing partners and getting that sort of thing ready to go. But other than that, we're all set.
Luke, got to commend you right off the bat. I, of course, got a chance to take in the banquet for the APC Tour. Just an amazing night to crown your champion. A really classy job that you guys did. And right off the top, we got to talk about your final words before the dance at the banquet. You guys went through and covered off the top-level stuff that you've done since the inception of the APC Tour and kind of compared 2018 to what 2019 was. Every category that you guys covered off, of course, a mid-range to a sizable increase, and all of that was for the competitors. Want to just touch on that and just kind of cover off the top level stuff from you, and really commend you guys on that to lead into this interview.
Yeah, well, appreciate that, Joe, and I'm glad you made it out. I think Dave and Jeff Graham, they put on a pretty good deal there for a banquet. But at the end of the day, everybody knows that the biggest thing that these race teams face is trying to come up with the funding. So my job or our job is to continue to try to keep the cost down and the rewards and prizing up, and it's tough, but that's our goal, and that's what we're trying to do, and offering all these different incentive packages is one way of doing it. So that's what we're up to, and that's our focus again for 2020.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'll tell you, it's making a difference at the short track level at the Saturday night program that are currently running pro late models. It's got to be making a difference, Luke, the injection of the extra cash. If you can do good on your Saturday night program and participate in the tour, you're going to get a bonus. And how good you can't make it any better than what you've done.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up a race fan, and I remember the days I was at Delaware Speedway. I was in my backyard, and I love seeing the local guys on Friday nights compete against the touring guys coming in. And if we had our ultimate goal, we'd have that happening every week. I understand the travel's tough and it's costly. There's no doubt about it, but I think the fans, their home fans, whether it be Sauble, Delaware, Flamborough, would like to see all their local superstars, go against the guys traveling around doing the tour. So that's where we want to get it. We're going to continue to work on making that happen.
You got contesting still continuing on, even these days. Seen it on Twitter just this week. We got battles of teams still happening today on Twitter. It's cool.
Yeah, that's been quite, there's been some interesting things coming out of that. It's, we're always trying to keep things fresh.
Yeah, keeping them moving. Now, new teams coming into the APC series. There's got to be a pile of teams that have been looking in the window saying, man, I can't wait to do that one day. Are you hearing any rumblings of new teams stepping in?
Yeah, we've got lots of different names and different people calling us trying to understand, asking for information, understanding how it all works. One thing I got a lot of concerns. The one thing I'm not concerned about is car count. I think we'll have the quality of the cars and the amount that we'll have these track is I'm pretty confident in. We're losing some, but there's lots of interest from new teams too. So it'll be an exciting year again.
Yeah, the emphasis, right, on teams when they get there, you got to have your homework done. Otherwise, you're going to look, you're going to see, if you haven't got your homework done, Junior, and you step into an APC race, man, I'll tell you what, you're going to disappear real fast.
Yeah, you know, I'm not to throw him under the bus or anything, but, you know, you got to look at a guy like DJ Kennington. You know, DJ Kennington has won, you know, in every facet of race car that he's been in Canada.
Yep.
And in late model as well. And, you know, one of the top names in all of Canadian racing. And this year, he bought an absolutely gorgeous late model. And, like, I mean, it's state-of-the-art. It's an amazing, you know, race car. He's obviously a great driver, and he's got a great team behind him. They didn't have their homework done and decided to go to Jukasa, you know?
Right.
And we went to Jukasa, and I mean, we couldn't get away from 18th place. And it's not, you know, it's just pure competition.
Right.
You know, the guys from 1st to 20th are separated by, you know, a 10th or under a 10th. And it's just an absolutely incredibly intense competitive series. And that's what everybody wants as a racer. You know, there isn't a guy that's got a 2 second advantage or, you know, even a 3/10 of an advantage, on the racetrack during the APC races. Now, that being said, you got to have your I's dotted and T's crossed, and you got to figure out how to make your car go within that rule book completely. And it's incredible to see, you know, the differences. I remember DJ climbing out of that car, and I'm not throwing him under the bus because it's just simply, you know, if you gave DJ 5 races in a late model, he would be competitive. He would be he would be a top 5 guy if that's what his 100% focus was. But he got out of the car and he's like, man, he couldn't believe where the competition level was in the APC tour, just missed the setup. But still, you know, that should be a big, you know, champion, you know, pin on your shoulder, because that is a huge thing for a series to go through. And you know, I absolutely love telling stories like that because the APC Tour is so healthy.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I agree with what you're saying as far as if DJ does come out there and run a few races, he'd be up at the front for sure. But there's been a long list of guys that have jumped in, tried to do a race here and there, and I thought, man, it's not what I expected. You know, you have to have it figured out. I mean, the tires are different too, of course, and you've got to have those. You know, got to understand what's going on there. But I'll put our guys up against anybody's. I think they're all talented and they got great teams. So it's fun to watch.
Well, 2020 is going to kick off in that APC series presented by Grisdale. Going to kick off at Sunset Speedway on the May long weekend. And you guys have got 10 very strong dates, Luke. Good job on that schedule.
Well, that's a lot of cooperation from all the tracks. We try to work together, and I think we've got something this year that took a while to get done, but I think it's going to work for everybody. I think it works for the teams. We want to have 10 races. We want to go to have a fair at the tracks. But you know, again, I think it'll work. I think everybody gets their shot. I'm sure everybody's got a track they like. Everyone's got a track they don't really want to go to. So. We'll see where it shakes out.
Yeah, we will. Rules-wise, you touched on that. You said the rules are all complete. Was there much change for the competitors this year in looking at the rule package, or was it fairly easy changes for everybody to adopt?
Well, that all depends who you ask. And as you guys know, I know very little. I've never claimed to know much about the rules. That's really Daryl's world. But I think Daryl's done a great job. It's not easy, but I can tell you this, people are going to say, hey, I got to spend a bunch of money. You can bring the exact same car to the track on May 2-4 that you left Delaware with last September. Nobody has to go change anything. They did allow the new body. That really is just, you know, we'll see where that shakes out. There's lots going on. There's lots of politics. There's enough politics in the world. I don't think we need any racing. It looks good. We don't deem there to be any advantage. And we're going to allow it, but then we lined up some we took that opportunity for with that body to match up with what's going on in the U.S. and that's a little bit of track width and wheel base. Small changes. And like I said, if somebody wants to bring the exact same car out that they ran last year, they sure can. I don't feel they're at a disadvantage at all. So that's what I know of the deal, Joe.
Yeah, and they're going to look more updated, right? If you can even see the difference, you're not going to pick up anything in speed by having a new body on your car, I wouldn't think.
I don't think so. I mean, this is not my area of expertise, but you go to Ducasse or something like that, maybe somebody can maybe argue there's a slight advantage, but we're doing 10 races, and, you know, 6 of the 10 for sure in small tracks were. I don't see it, but I'm sure there's a lineup of guys who would love to argue with me about it.
Well, the only thing I can say to that, and I'm with you, Luke, I'm no expert on it either, but back in the All-Star days, which I'm pretty frequented in, I can remember Tim Ellis standing in victory lane at Cayuga Speedway missing a front fender.
Yeah, exactly.
So aerodynamics definitely was not in play on that particular event, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's to say it doesn't matter at all, no, I don't agree with that, but I think that the cars, the bodies are close enough. I think it's the right move for the industry. I mean, we've been with the same body for so long that it was just time. So we'll see. You make decisions with the information you have at the time, and then you live with them, and you adapt as you go. That's the best I can say about it.
Yeah, incredible. Got to ask you, Luke, the schedule, when I look at the schedule and I see Delaware's schedule, I do see a couple of events where they got late models on the same time we got an APC race on. Is there going to be any difference, or have they got a different car?
I don't know. I have not. I respect, you know, a lot of Russ and the whole Delaware team. They do an amazing job there, and I think they've got the place on the right, you know, heading in the right direction. So I saw a schedule, but it was tentative. And in fairness to Russ, he was asking for a schedule, which I could not give him ahead of time. I was just waiting till we finalized things, as you know, Joe. So who knows? Some of their dates could change. We'd love to see, you know, the tracks and the series continue to work together. I think that's good for all of us involved. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're gonna do what they've got to do, and I'll always respect whatever they decide.
Yeah, and you're right. Tentative is the word on the top of all schedules. On most schedules, I should say, the word tentative is up there. Things change. We're only into now December, and hopefully everything works out for the better. And I know it's going to. The APC series definitely is one to keep your eye on. I know you're getting North American representation now and North American eyeballs on this series. Luke, you guys have come a long way in a short period of time. I can't wait to see where this is all leading.
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, we've got great support from ownership of Canusa and APC, and they can, you know, Joe, you saw them at the banquet. They're pumped up on this thing. They're having fun with it. It's great for the APC brand. We've got partners like Greystone Racing Products that have been with us from day one. There's a number of sponsors they have, and then also Pennzoil. And Shell, that whole company jumped on this year along with Spectre Pre-Owned. These guys are making it fun. It's been good. It's been good for the brand too. I can't, you know, from a corporate standpoint, this has worked for us. There's no doubt about it.
Luke, looking at obviously the geographic location and the layout of APC stores and the races that you guys take place in, how many people do you guys typically bring to the racetrack with APC, like from you know, the customers to the suppliers and that type of thing? Do you guys bring a lot of people to the racetrack? I already know the answer to this, but I just want to cover off, because that is a huge thing. And when you look at across the board, when you look at a sponsor, whether it be a sticker on a race car, whether it be, you know, a sponsor at the hockey game, bringing people to the event and using that event for your benefit, how big of an impact does the series have on the Canusa side? Do you guys bring a lot of people to the racetrack?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked the question, Joe, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, ask me, why aren't you going back to Peterborough? And listen, we had a great time at Peterborough, and it's a great group. You know, I think the world of JP. But at the end of the day, we have to make sense for the business. And where our stores are currently, we don't have anything in Peterborough. And, putting a name on a race series, or it's no different than people put a name on the race car, that it only works if you leverage it. And with the 10 races this year, we had 1,600 customers to the racetrack, which we VIP events. So this is where we're giving them, you know, we're feeding them, we're having, you know, giving a T-shirt, we're doing something special, and that works for us. We've got our sales team and our managers and with the customers, and that's how it makes sense. So that's really the value for us. It's all about relationships, and we want to stay close to our customers. So that's what we're using the racing for. That's
awesome. Cool. How about the stores? Every year you and I talk, and every year that number seems to go up. How many stores are you at now, Luke, for
like
ABC?
Like 11,000, is it now?
No. I think the total store count, everything's at 51 now. Just opened. We just had a new location open on St. Catharines in Milton in the last 4 months. But there's a lot of great people at APC making this that thing happen. It's been a lot of fun as well.
No time on the couch for you, right, bud?
Well, that's where I'm sitting right now. I can't complain.
Well, and you know what? You earned that spot on that couch. But tomorrow morning's coming like a freight train, so we better cut you loose so you can have a little bit of fun.
Well, I appreciate that, guys, and thanks for everything you guys are doing for the sport.
We do need a pick for the Snowball Derby from you, though.
That's right.
Oh.
And it, you know, you got to make the pick.
And so. Dillner took three.
You can take 80, I guess.
We'll give you three. You go ahead and pick your three, or maybe you just want one.
I haven't been following that close. Did I read that Rich Bickle's going back?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
I'm kind of out of touch on that. I think Kyle Busch would be tough to beat.
One of Kyle's cars?
One of Kyle's cars. Yeah, so you're taking Chandler Smith.
I just assumed he was racing. I don't know. the rule book's out, and the schedule's ready to go. I'm kind of out of touch with taking a little break from racing here for a bit.
Hey, RTR is always good to put somebody on the hot seat, and we just threw you on the right on the stove.
Well, see, that just proves how little I actually know.
No, you know APC better than anybody I know, Luke. Thanks for the time tonight, brother.
Oh, thank you, guys. Take care. Have fun.
You bet. President of the APC series, that's Luke Ramsey. Great to catch up with him.
Touching on the rule book side, the body conversation.
Yeah.
It's so comical in the industry for me. I laugh when they say that this body or that body has got an advantage. Aerodynamics do come into play. Don't get me wrong.
No, they do.
Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
On the local short track level, if you're doing 90 miles an hour, aerodynamics come into play. And you maximize every little bit. But make your car turn, maximize your mechanical grip, maximize your motor performance, maximize getting the power to the ground.
Yep.
Then worry about the little stuff.
Then
the little stuff in the shop is after your car is complete and as good as you can get it. Then you start tweaking and playing with aero. I mean, the guys who are at that level that are worried about aero, they have 20 advantages over you anyways.
Yeah.
So if you sit there and you look at a guy who's got a brand new body on his car with one of the new 5-star next gen bodies, and you look at that guy and say he beat you, if you can't look me square in the eye and say you maximized your mechanical grip, your motor performance, and landing the power, if you can't say that you've maximized all three of those things, you cannot look at his body and call it an advantage.
Yeah.
So when I look at it, the guy who's going to have the new body likely has everything managed, and he likely has everything good. The body didn't beat you.
No.
So if anybody out there looks at the body and says it's an advantage, you've got three heads because it's not correct. So that's my opinion wholeheartedly, and it's a body on a late model. You could put a 4x8 sheet of plywood on the front of it. If you maximize those other three things, you're going to beat everybody else's ass anyways.
Yeah, well, you can't put a 4x8 sheet on the front. But I digress. Let's hit this break. We'll be back. We got Terry Watts coming up. Stay with us.
Bonjour, ici Andrew Ranger, coureur de la voiture 27. Vous écoutez Race Time Radio. I'm Andrew Ranger. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Logano
elbows in the wall. He'll slide up and he'll slam on the safer barrier and he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race. Live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it, out of control.
It's unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live from the Racetime Radio studio. Maybe you're tuned in on SiriusXM Channel 167. Sure hope you are. Welcome aboard, or maybe, just maybe now, you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello to you throughout the course of the week. Or how about the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com that re-airs this program at least three times throughout the course of the week, or maybe Gearhead Country Radio. Hello to everyone out there. If you missed the show and want to go back and have a listen to it, maybe you missed, you just tuned in now. You want to know what you missed? You missed a lot. Just get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. And when you do that, you'll see it. She'll pop right up. Hit like, hit subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. And you can do that in the iTunes store. But you join us every Sunday night right here. And I'll tell you what, you never miss a trick, Junior.
You've been sidestepping this long enough now.
What's that?
I want to hear your three picks.
I'm going to take one pick, unlike Mr.
No
Dillner.
Way.
Yes, I am.
Come on.
I'm going to take one pick.
When you got three on the table, you got to take three.
No. Okay, I'm going to take two. I'll take two. I'll take two. And one of them set fast time in the All-American 400.
Oh, I know.
I am going to take Cole Butcher from Canada's East Coast, but he is going to be my second pick.
Yes.
I'm not going to take him as my number one pick. Nope. But he is my second pick, my number one pick to win the 2019 Snowball Derby is none other than Harrison Burton. Harrison Burton is going to win the Snowball Derby.
Good picks.
Maybe Stephen Nassy. If I got three, I'd throw Nassy
throw
in there.
Nassy in there, too?
Well, I'd kind of have to.
All right.
Because Stephen, I've known him since he was a kid and got mad respect for him in a car.
I'm going rowdy heavy with this.
Are you?
Yep, I got to take Chandler Smith. Chandler Smith is one of the, you know, up-and-coming drivers for TRD. He's in the 51 for KBM.
Yep.
Of course, the same car that Noah Gregson went to Victory Lane with.
Yep.
Well, the same team. So I got to take him. He would be my number one pick.
Not a bad pick.
No. Number two pick, Rowdy Heavy, like I said.
Yep.
A guy who has had a tremendous amount of success this year. And that's Boris Yorkovic. He's, of course, in, you know, the Rowdy Machines, in the 53 car. Then I also have to – this is a toss-up. This is my toss-up now.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, I side with Bob on the sentimental pick of Bubba Pollard.
Yeah.
I side with him on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have to... Should I take him or not?
That's up to you. It's up
I don't
to
know.
You.
If, I don't know if I should take him or
I'm going to re-air this.
I know you're going to re-air it.
I'm going to re-air your picks because I'm going to win. Harrison Burton's going to win the race.
So here's the deal.
Okay.
Sentimental pick, of course. I really want Bubba Pollard to win it.
Do you?
I do. I he has...
He's got every other win.
This is the Daytona 500 for short track racing. He is the Dale Earnhardt of short track racing right now, currently.
No, it's not the 500. This is the Snowball Derby.
No, exactly.
There's only one.
No,
there's only one Snowball Derby.
It's the biggest short track race, and Bubba Pollard has won everything else but it.
Okay.
So it's the Daytona 500 to Dale Earnhardt, if you know, when you compare it. But I think I'm going off on a little bit of a limb here. They're doing some really wild stuff, and I think I'm going to settle on Johnny Van Dorn.
Really? Johnny Van Dorn.
They have done some wild stuff.
Yep.
This year.
They've had a good season.
They've had
too.
A great season.
Lots of input.
And I kind of like the direction that Van Dorn race cars and Rowdy race cars are going.
Tell me something. Did Dale Jr. ever run the Snowball Derby? Is he on?
No, I don't believe he did. No.
I don't think he ever did. Eh?
No.
I wonder why.
But his a lot
I wonder
of
why
his,
he never did it.
A lot of his drivers have.
Yeah, but that's past. I wonder why Dale Jr.
Well,
never.
He raced local late model racing and then went straight to the Busch Series. That's why.
Yeah, but look,
he raced late models around North Carolina and South Carolina. Didn't really venture out in late models, right?
No.
He raced them for a relatively short period of time. And you know, once he showed success, then he jumped right into the number three car in the AC Delco car.
I got his shirt
and went, you know, for gold.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, it's not a surprise that he didn't run it.
I'd like to hear his thoughts on that.
Oh,
I'd love to hear his thoughts on it.
I would too.
I'm
really struggling right now, though. I don't know if I should take Bubba or Johnny. Like we haven't
Bubba or Johnny.
I'm taking Johnny.
You're going to take Johnny, not
Bubba. Johnny Van Dorn, Chandler Smith, and Boris Yorkovic
are all going to be behind Harrison Burton. Harrison Burton's going to win this race, kids. I'm really, really sure of that.
I mean, he's good there, but...
Oh, no. He's going to be spectacular in this race.
I don't know.
Yep, he's going to be. He's going to be. You know what? He's had enough bad luck this season.
So you took Nassie, Harrison Burton, and...
Cole Butcher.
Oh, you took Cole.
Yep. Cole Butcher's got to figure in there. The guy sat atop the pole.
Here's the thing. I know
Cole
Butcher.
For the All-American 400.
I know.
And Pensacola is one rough racetrack.
Yes.
And
he sat on the pole for the Derby, too.
Well, how about it?
But,
how about it?
But,
he loves those rickety old tracks.
Here's the thing that I've said about Cole Butcher before.
Not
down
a closer.
There. Down there, and I say that, you know, he is a closer up here when he races up here, but he hasn't shown the ability to close. Now, he's had it ripped away from him before,
yeah,
and I'm not saying that he's not doesn't have the ability to close.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying that he does not have the ability. He has got all of the ability in the world. He's a great race car driver.
Just hasn't shown the close.
Hasn't shown the close yet. The execution is everything.
Yeah.
And I still can't go down the road of picking him based on that.
Well,
and
I can.
Now, if Cole Butcher wins the race, I would be the first one jumping up and down, cheering for him,
yep.
And saying that is awesome.
Right.
And congratulations, man. Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I hope that he proves me wrong.
Yeah.
I hope that he goes and gets it.
We're going to see. It's going to be either Harrison Cole or Cole Harrison. One or the other. That's the way the order is going to go. But listen, what we got to do is throw it back to Toronto. Do the quick news highlight package. Takes 90 seconds. Then Junior and I are back for hour number two tonight. So don't go anywhere. Terry Watts, honestly, is going to join us on the other side of this break. So stay right there. We get you a little bit smarter right now.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes here on Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167, where Canada talks.
And just like that, the magic of hour two begins tonight on Race Time Radio. Let's get back to that hotline, shall we? And let's talk about a long-lasting series that has run here in Canada. This one here, they celebrated 50 years a bunch of years ago. And our next guest will be able to tell me what number year this one is coming up. Let's welcome in a guy that's been with the Can-Am Midgets, well, not since the beginning, but
you're saying that a lot. You're making a lot of people sound old tonight.
Fairly close to
it. He is an old guy.
Terry Watts is with us from the Can-Am Midgets. Terry, what's going on? How you doing, buddy?
Oh, getting better by day.
Are you good? Yeah, the ticker. How's the ticker doing?
Well, they busted me open and fixed me, so.
Did they?
Yeah, 5 weeks into a quad. It hurts. But
oh, I bet. I bet, buddy. Well, now you're repaired. No little stints for you now. They went in
no,
and got,
took
gave
them
you some,
out, got rid of that stuff.
Gave you some new plumbing. You'll be all set now.
That's it.
Yeah. How long have you been with the Midgets?
Well, I'm guessing 40 years.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I knew it was a long time.
Show. I was 16 years old. I saw the first Midget show at Varney Speedway.
Wow. Wow. That's been a while.
It's been a long time.
No kidding.
Been a long time.
Now, I'm hearing that elections are coming up with the Can-Am Midget Club. Is your hat in the ring to maybe be the president?
You heard that rumor, too, eh?
I'm just hearing it.
Everybody keeps hearing that except me.
Well, wouldn't it be a great idea, Terry? You've been with the club a long time.
Hey, why not?
Yeah.
What are the perks of the job?
I would throw my hat in the ring. Why not?
What are the perks of the job? Like, do you get a private jet? Do you get
No? No, more work, less pay.
More work, less pay.
It's like any important job.
Well, what I really like about it, Terry, is that you would actually be really, really busy at the racetrack, and you'd leave my truck alone.
No, I would never leave your truck alone, Joe.
So, funny story.
I think I got it last year, too.
You did. You did.
Funny story for everybody that's listening. Inside jokes don't work on radio, by the way, guys.
Okay.
Just want to let you know.
Oh, okay.
So, my dad, Joe, has always won the, or has always, you know, owned Sobel Speedway for a long period of time, and then has always had the license plate of Race 2.
Race 2.
Right? Race 2. And then it used to be on the, it was clever when it was on the Sobel Speedway pace truck.
Yep.
Now it's, you operate Race Time, but your license plate is Race 2. It doesn't really make any sense. But, that being said, you had Race 2, and then it was Sobel Speedway all over the truck back in the day.
That's right.
So, Terry, the old guy on the phone here, he would always add a little dash. Of course, now he has been with the TQ Midgets, or now the Can-Am Midgets, but he would always change your license plate to Race TQ.
Always.
He would just put a little dash in the O, and he would make it Race TQ on your license plate. Now, for the first couple times, it was just a little strip of electrical tape, which was not malicious at all.
No.
But then you switched it up, and you went to Sharpie. And the Sharpie version, the cops did not like.
That's pulled over.
The cops did not like the Sharpie version.
I'll tell you a true story. I was driving down the Sunset Strip in Owen Sound, Ontario, and all of a sudden this OPP came up behind me, and the lights came on, and I pulled over. I had my seatbelt on. I didn't have no phone near me, so I thought I was doing the speed limit. Everything's cool. This guy must just want to say hi. So I wait. The officer gets out. He comes up, and he goes, Joe, and I love, oh, sure enough, it's Howard Bentley. What's going on, Howard? He was obviously an OPP, and he's one that raced at the track. So I said, hey, Howard, what's going on? He said, I got a problem. I said, no, you don't. I got my seatbelt on. You didn't catch me. I wasn't speeding. Everything's cool. He goes, nope, you got the wrong license plate on your truck. I said, what are you talking about? I haven't changed my license. He said, Joe, I ran your plate in my data bank, and your license plate is wrong. There is a charge for that. I said, get out of here. My license plate's fine. He said, no, it's not. He made me get out of the truck and go look. And sure enough, Terry Watts had struck. He had put that thing on there. I knew it immediately. So I'm there, and I'm trying to pick it off and peel it off. And it was a Sharpie. And I said, listen, Howard,
I ran out of electrical tape.
Yeah, too funny.
The electrical tape's not as bad.
He did not charge me, but I'll tell you, I had a bugger of a time getting that little line off there. And I thought, I'm going to take my plates off next time Terry comes to the beach. Anyway.
Fun stories.
Terry.
The campfire chats of Sauble Beach.
You guys, Terry, with the Lucas Oil Can-Am Midgets, man, if you guys got a schedule planned for 2020, it is released. It's going to be a dynamite summer, busy summer for you guys.
It's going to be busy. The motorhome's going to get some miles on her next year.
Yeah.
It's going to be busy. It's good to be back at Sauble for them all them long weekends. We love that place on a long weekend.
Yeah, well, you know what? We've had a lot of fun on those long weekends over the years, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah. And it used to.
You know what? If that fence could talk.
Yeah. No kidding. If my little boat could talk with you and Skipper out there.
No, I knew nothing. It wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't you at all.
Never.
19 races is what you guys have got planned. Terry, that's an aggressive schedule for a touring club.
Well, it's you know, it was a little sparse last year, 12 shows last year, and a few rainouts, so it ends up to be 9 shows or 10 shows. And we got some more cars coming up. We had an 8 rookies last year, so we got guys that want to come and race, so... We're going to see how serious everybody is, and we'll give them a good, thick schedule. You figure 4 or 5 of these get rained out, so we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. What I love about those double dates is it really lends itself well to guys that that may not have the full 19 on their schedule, but if they can run twice on a weekend, that might be something they'll want to do.
I think it's good for everybody. You run twice. You run your drive once, get paid twice. So it'll help out with the tire bill.
Yeah, it sure will. How have things changed with the Lucas Oil Can-Am Midgets over the years? Is it a thing where you guys are always updating the rules and changing things, or has things stayed pretty well normal?
You try not to change anything. You try to change it for the better and try to change it for saving everybody money. I think the going from the Hoosiers to the American racers saved a lot of money. They last, you know, it's a hockey puck. They last twice as long, and nobody really notices we're going any slower.
Right, and it is. Did it slow the guys down?
Barely.
Just a little bit.
Barely. Well, they drag them out of a snowbank and they put them on, and they still go fast. They last. They last a long time.
You gotta love it.
Instead of 2 tires a night, there's, you know, 1 tire every 4 nights.
Wow,
that's excellent.
It saves a lot of money.
Yeah, it would, and that's the name of the game, right? Try and save as much
as
possible.
They're a little loose, but the guys seem to like, you know, not spending money.
Yeah, and that's good, Terry. I look back at the TQ Midgets, at the Midget organization, and I can think back quite a few years now too, because I'm getting a little snow on the roof here. I think back to the days of Harry Macy, and you know, we had Kenny Lorenz for a long time in there. And we would see participation coming up out of Lancaster, New York. Those TQ Midgets would blend in with these ones. Are we ever going to see those days again where those guys, or are they even still going, where they could melt in together with the Can-Am Midgets and make everything even bigger?
We've done that a couple of times down there, Lake Erie Speedway in Lancaster. And, you know, they invited us down, and we invited them to Lancaster one time where we had a date there, and I'd love to have a few more of them guys up here. They're good, they're fast, they're respectful, and they got their own program, and we got ours. It's hard to find, you know, matching dates, and then you got the border that nobody wants to cross, and
yeah.
But yeah. I would love to see a big show like that, but it's, you know, if you need time and money.
Are the cars competitive to one another now?
Oh, yeah,
like
they're almost
today's?
Virtually identical.
Virtually?
Besides, they don't run a wing.
Right.
And there's a couple other minor things that's easy to fix.
How big of an advantage is it to having a wing on a Can-Am Midget? Is it a big deal?
It's, well, you've got more corner speed. That's all it's doing for you.
Right. Helping you whoa up a bit when you head into the turn?
We had the U.S. guy come up to, I can't think of his name now. He came up to Verney Speedway and kicked their ass in the last race. So
did he? Did he?
Yeah, he did a good job. He worked on. He never stopped working on that car, and you knew the guy was serious and an absolute gentleman. I'm trying to remember. I'll remember his name. An absolute gentleman. There was two guys come up. There was Smith, and I can't remember the guy's name that won the race. But absolute gentleman, and it was fun to have him there.
Well, the
but
first
he ran modifieds at Verney before. He loved the place.
Really.
Yeah,
that's awesome. You know, the first thing to go, right, is your memory.
Well, that's why I had the wife print me off a cheat sheet of names, because I can't remember anybody's name, in case you ask me something.
Yeah, too funny. Kim, always got your
After
back.
After 55 years listening to motorcycle engines, you get a little crazy.
It gets a little bit. I hear you. Hey, Terry Watts, you're not only busy with the Can-Am Midget organization, but it seems like when you get just a minute off, you're out of this weekend on the dirt, too, helping Glenn and those guys out.
Every Friday. Yeah, I work there on Friday nights. I line up all the sprint cars and small track, look after the push trucks, which, you know, years and years ago, it all started with me in a push truck.
Yeah,
so I still enjoy all that part. Andy Jankowiak, that was his name.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks. Thanks,
How did you know? She just come down there and wrote it on my paper.
I wouldn't doubt it. That's Kim.
Absolute gentleman. He put on a hell of a show for us. It's fun to watch.
That's cool. Well, I will tell the fans here, I got the pleasure. Now, I have not been to many dirt tracks. I have not been to many dirt races.
Right.
In general. I've probably been to 12. Let's call it. I've probably been to 1,000 on the asphalt side. But so we walk into Oshweken, and of course, I've known Terry forever. And Terry is a push truck driver.
Yep.
And I said, what are you doing here? Like, I've only known him as the Can-Am guy.
Right.
You know, you're a Can-Am guy. That's what you are. You're a Can-Am guy, not an Oshweken guy. And you informed me that you've been doing this for a long time, and you're like, jump in. So we got to push a sprint car out on the racetrack for hot laps.
Cool.
Was it ever cool? They've got, like, a neat little track. They've got a little warm-up track, you know, that they get everybody fired up on so that the next heat can fire off right away.
Right.
And, man, I tell you what, when they spark up and, you know, in front of you, I see why you get to do that every weekend or want to do that every weekend, because it's fun.
It is a lot of fun. Just don't run them over, and it's not fun when they get out of there mad at you.
Have you had the odd one mad at you, Terry?
The odd one. We try not to hit. You know what? You try to stay off the fuel cell. That's where all the money is.
Right, right.
You
yeah.
just run over a tire, they just give you a dirty look. But you hit the fuel cell, they want to talk to you.
They want to talk to you afterwards. But when they turn around and they see it's you, I bet you they say, well...
the best part is they can't turn around, so you try to hide with all the other push trucks. You don't know who did it.
I didn't push you. That guy over there pushed you.
No idea what you're talking
about.
They
turn their head. They can't see you for the seat, so you try to hide.
It's going to be a big year on dirt, too. I don't know if the weekend schedule, if it's out, I haven't seen it yet, but I can imagine Clinton, those guys will be getting wound up and ready to go.
Out there, and they spend a lot of time, and it's a real passion for those guys out there. And you know me, I'm an open-wheel guy. Anything open-wheel, I got to go watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be cool. That's going to be a good summer, I can guarantee you that. 19 Lucas Oil Can-Am Midget dates coming up. Hey, you guys moved your banquet. You don't get to party until January.
Yeah, that's because, it was because of my problem I had.
Ah.
We were only a month away from the banquet, and I decided to have another heart attack and have heart surgery. So it's 6 to 8 weeks to heal, so...
Yeah.
Because me and Kim did the show, there was going to be no show, so
yeah,
we pushed it off, and we'll be there. We'll be back.
Yeah, you're done having heart attacks now, right?
I hope so. I got some new tubing in me, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're done, Terry. You're good to go.
Knock 2 tenths off, and you're good to go, right?
Yeah, too young for this crap.
The only problem is you're going to live now till you're 125, and we're all going to be long gone.
Well, my dad just turned 92, so I got a long way to go.
Good stuff. How's Albert doing? Albert doing good?
Albert's doing well. He's 85, going on 50.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Gotta love the man. Yep. Yeah. Terry, this has been great catching up with you, bud. I know we're all excited for that Can-Am Midget schedule to begin in 2020. It's going to be off the hook.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing you guys there, Joe.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time. Terry, thanks for the time tonight. You go hug Kim.
All right. Take care of the little squirrel there, Joe.
10-4.
Yeah. All right. Take care, guys.
For sure. Nice talking to you.
Terry Watts, he is with the Lucas Oil Can-Am Midgets.
In line to be president of the Can-Am Midgets.
Cornerstone of that club.
He is, for sure. And he's been a cornerstone of the Can-Am Midgets for, you know, as long as I can remember, you know, since I was, what, 8 years old, running around
yeah.
Cobble Speedway.
Yeah, yeah.
Terry has been not only you know, an employee or a, you know, a part of it, he's been an ambassador for the entire sport. He's always got a smile on his face at the racetrack, just a great cat. And, you know, he's always got stuff done, too. When you go to the racetrack,
oh yeah,
and you need something, you know, from the Can-Ams, or you need, you know, any information or anything, he's the guy to go to. And Kim is a close second.
Kim and Kimmy. Kim, yeah.
For sure.
And, you know, Cindy Lorenz, I still see Cindy
absolutely.
Around.
Yep.
Kenny Lorenz was the president for years.
Yep.
You won't find better people.
No,
you
for
won't
sure.
find better
the
people.
The entire club.
The whole club.
When they come into town, they don't just show up to be a club.
No.
They show up to put on a race.
Do they
And
ever.
They get after it, and they put on a show. They're always a They're the fastest things in Ontario racing.
Yes, sir.
By far, on asphalt. And they put on a great show, but more importantly, they go out and they have fun, too. It's just an awesome series. I would never strap into one, though.
Me neither.
They are scary.
So many times guys have offered me cars.
Yeah. Go for a rip.
James Gray. James
yep.
Gray, one of the past champion.
Mm-hmm.
His dad, Joe, get in this number 82. Take it. No. Not even in the pits. I don't want to start it. I don't want to sit in it. It's too fast.
Yep.
Those guys, I got mad respect for them. Can't wait to see them. You'll be able to see them at your local racetrack here in Ontario. Get to the Can-Am Midget website. Have a look at the schedule. I am sure you're going to be excited for everything 2020. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, yet another Ontario series has got their schedule out. This time, the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup is set for 2020. Taylor Thring is going to join us on the other side of the break. We'll talk about it.
Hi, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So cool to see this early, just December the 1st, and we're starting to see 2020 schedules all popping up. And I'll tell you what, that's cool, because far too often has a lot of the information come out way too late or later into the spring, and it's really hard to try and, you know, get all this information out to everybody. But when things are clicking like they are today, it's really cool. Another series here in Ontario that has got their schedule and their homework done is the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series. You hear us talk about the series quite a bit on here, and for good cause. We want to welcome in our next guest. Her name is Taylor Thring. She's the PR director for the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup, and she's with us on the hotline. What's going on tonight, Taylor? How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
Fantastic. Wow, awesome. Excellent looking schedule, my lady. Good job.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this upcoming year. Obviously, last year was a big difference for the series. We got our car counts up, and obviously the full throttle race was something that had a lot of hype around it for a good reason. Kenny Wallace and everyone joining us, that was super fun, but being able to come to Sauble three times and now actually running Frostfest as our invitational this year, we're very, very excited.
I wouldn't doubt it. And things are looking really good for the series. It looks like there could be a couple more new cars coming in here. We heard last weekend of another new car.
Yes, the Hurniak team just released their second driver. So we're really looking forward to, obviously, car counts coming up and people actually becoming aware of the series that we have running and the way that we do things. Obviously, we make racing as cheap as possible for everybody and make it fun and put on a good show while doing so. So we're really excited to have the Hurniaks bringing out another car because they are a great family racing team, and we look forward to having Tim join the series.
Taylor, you get behind the wheel of a race car as well. Are you ever going to get behind the wheel of a Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup car, or are you already there?
You know what? I have tried. My boyfriend actually races in the series, Connor James. I tested his car at Sunset in the middle of the season, I would say. There were a couple things in the works last year that unfortunately just didn't make it to plan, but we're still trying. Hopefully someday in the near future we can see that. It'd be super fun, I'll tell you that much.
Are they a handful? Because they look like they're a lot of fun to drive, but it does look like those cup cars could be a handful.
It's funny you say that, because I raced a little Ford Mustang mini stock. Before that, I was a go-kart racer. So getting into a late model for my first time in any other car other than those two little machines was pretty funny. I my first thing that I said when I got out of the car, I was like, it feels like I was driving a boat, because they're so heavy. But it's such a, I can't even put into words how fun it was to get behind the wheel of something much bigger than obviously I'm used to. But yeah, they're a lot heavier than what I was used to, and a little bit harder to steer, but other than that, it was a lot of fun. It was really cool, and I could only imagine being around 12 or 20 other cars of those than being by myself. So it was a lot of fun, and it would obviously take some adapting to, but they're a lot different than what I'm used to, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see you behind the wheel, though. Like, to get you out there with these guys. Connor can get her done.
Oh, yes, he can.
Yeah.
We put on a good show, I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. Too cool. We got a 9-race schedule we're looking at. It's going to kick off at Flamborough Speedway on the May long weekend. It's a good, comfortable mix. You guys are going to be right across the province.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Like, unfortunately, Full Throttle is not on the schedule this year, but being able to go back to Sunset, where I personally think our racing really showcases some really good shows, and Sauble as well. Unfortunately, the days that we got there last year, we had a couple rainouts and whatnot, but we put on great shows. And unfortunately, Delaware rained out as well last year. So we are really looking forward to being able to get to these tracks that we had poor weather at, unfortunately, and hopefully put on some good shows and put a mix in, because like you said, we're really going across province and getting everywhere that we possibly can.
Well, throughout the course of the season, Taylor Thring, who we have on the hotline here, Taylor, you take care of the social media. You keep everybody up to date as things progress. What's it like doing that? You got a lot of names that you got to do. Are you at every single race and following these guys?
I am. I attended every single race. As a race car driver myself, it was hard to cut back my own season, but this is a career endeavor that I obviously wanted to take advantage of, and the people that I worked with were awesome. Dave Alexander and Brandon Hiroff, they do an amazing job running the series, and the drivers make it really easy to promote such great racing. Kevin Gallon and Connor put on an amazing show week in and week out at any track that you went to. It was always a good battle between them, and then you throw in the mix of all of the other guys, top front runners like Alvin McNichol winning the Full Throttle race, and Chad McGlynn is always a top runner. They make it really easy to write about. So
yeah.
My job wasn't too hard, but it was awesome to be able to cover such awesome racing and never having content to run out of writing about or capturing in my photographs, too.
The best place to keep up on everything Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup. Can you point all of us to where we should be looking if we want content on the Cup Series?
Yeah, so right now we're actually working on a revamp of the Instagram and the Facebook, but the Instagram is what I was utilizing to its key potentials during the summer. That's where you can find schedules, weekly postings, and see live race events as well, and who qualifies up front, who's running where during the race. We're trying to get the Facebook page up and running a little bit better than what it is right now, but yeah, we're totally in the works of just revamping this whole series, so we're really looking forward to that. And if you guys want to go give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it's all the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series.
Perfect. Bob Merrifield, there is an iconic name in Ontario Canadian racing. Do you think we're going to see Bob back out there in that iconic 43 this year?
I am hoping so, because he is one of the most genuine and sportsmanlike drivers I have ever met in my life. And actually, a quick story, at Sunset, I think it was the second date, he had a gear problem, and the amount of people that went over to his pit and were helping him and wanted to see him get back out there was just so awesome. This series is such a tight-knit family, and they are all there to help each other and race, so it was such a heartwarming feeling seeing everybody immediately gratify to him as he needed the help. So I really hope he gets back out there, because he is such an awesome guy, awesome race car driver, and just so sportsmanlike.
Well, as we work our way through the off season, I want to grab Bob, get him on here. Hopefully he's going to race again, but if not, I can guarantee we got tons to talk about with him.
Exactly. He is a never-ending storybook, I'll tell you that.
He sure is. So what do you do now in the off-season? What's your plans going from here until the time we take that green flag?
Well, right now, again, we're trying to find that title sponsor. Obviously, it is not old news that Lucas Oil, unfortunately, was not able to hop on board again for this year. We had them last year with us. So we right now are looking for new sponsors, and as that fresh start, it's funny to say, we are looking for a new name, new title sponsor, and we're hitting up a whole new different schedule than what we have in the past. We're doing invitationals, and we're also hopefully changing up some of the rule books to make the car counts go up a little bit more. So there's a whole lot in the works, and I know Brandon and Dave have been working very hard together to make this series as easily run as it possibly can, and obviously put on a good show everywhere we go. So there's a lot in the works. There's a lot to look forward to. Obviously, we had some amazing rookies come in last year, and then, again, Connor and Kevin put on such an amazing battle. I can't stress that enough. They made my job so easy. It was an awesome season to watch, and an awesome season for me to get in and be able to help them marketing wise. But yeah, there's a lot that we're doing in the off season. There will be a rules meeting coming up in the near future, December, maybe early January. So if anybody is interested in finding out more about what we are as a series and what the plan is for 2020 in a more in-depth light. On all of our social media pages, we'll be posting the date for that.
Yeah, I gotta love it. You guys do a great job. I'll tell you what, you make sure you let those powers to be know that whoever they're going after as a sponsor, you can count on the support of Racetime Radio to keep everyone up to date with frequent guest stops like this and more throughout the course of the season. You can always count on RTR to be in your corner and let those guys know that we will be mentioning them. So you guys do a dynamite job. Final question for you tonight. It's got nothing to do with Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup. Who are you going to take in the Snowball Derby? Because I know you'll have your eye on that race.
Oh, my, that is such a good question. You know, I know it's such a cliche thing to say, but Bubba Pollard, I've met him a couple times when he comes down here to race, and or up here, I should say, to race. He is such a phenomenal race car driver. And seeing even what he did at the Canadian Short Track Nationals this past year, qualifying more mid-pack and then being so low-key and then coming out as soon as he I got my eyes on Bubba Pollard. I really do.
Now, you do get three because everybody, Bob Dillner off the top, he copped out and he picked three different names. So you still have two. You can just settle on the one. That's fine if you want, but you do have three that you're allowed to pick.
Okay, I'm going to say my next one definitely has to be Ty Majewski. I think he is an awesome race car driver as well. I know Thompson Photography just posted a poll which one out of the two you're going to think. But I'm thinking more Bubba Pollard, but we'll do Ty Majewski. And I heard a rumor that there's a bunch of Kyle Busch cars, so I'm going to put my money on one of those because they're always fast right out of the box.
Oh, you're picking the low-hanging fruit just like Dillner. Look at you guys go. Good job, Taylor. Hey, this has been great catching up with you tonight. You guys sound like you're very busy in the background getting prepared for 2020. But the cool part is you got the schedule done, posted. It's up and live. And good job on that. Keep us up to date as we move through the off season. We'll make sure we keep the fans totally up to date as well.
Awesome. I just want to say thank you so much for keeping us on your social media pages and letting us come on here, because obviously we don't get a lot of coverage compared to bigger series like APC and Oscar. So I just want to say a big thank you to you guys for constantly keeping us one of your priorities. You will never know how appreciative we are of that.
Well, you guys earned that spot. I can guarantee you that. Taylor, thanks so much for the time. You have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you again in the new year.
You as well. Happy holidays.
You want to believe it. That is Taylor Thring. She's a busy young lady. They got lots coming up. It's going to be interesting, Junior, to see how things unfold for that Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, we've covered them off, you know, of the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about them, and just a great, affordable series where you get to travel, you know, to different racetracks. You get to be in front of a lot of people, and they've got great car counts with competition through the roof. Just an awesome feeder division in Ontario. And I use that term not as a negative thing.
No,
a feeder division is something that is super needed in every facet. And the ability and the amount that you can learn in the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series is huge to get you to the next level, to get you to the APC Tour, to get you to the NASCAR Pinty Series, and so on and so forth. You know, If you're winning at your local track, the next step up is into a track like or a series like the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup. And I think, you know, she touched on it a little bit, but the rules combination, you're seeing it over the last couple of years, combining of or allowing of a sportsman a super stock or a thunder car, if you will, into that division is a great thing and going to provide a lot of health into the future for that series. I do say and stress that I hope that they don't go too far down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Because they've got a good thing.
Well, they're smart.
And
eh?
They are very smart, and just don't go too far down the rabbit hole. That's what I can, you know, say.
Well, coming up on the show, we got to hit this break, and it's the final one of tonight's show. But when we come back, Have you heard of Ladies on the Oval? Have you heard of Ladies on the Oval, Junior?
No.
You haven't?
I say no just so that you can tell me what it is. If I say yes, it's like, have you heard the joke of no?
Samantha Shaw, driver of the number 81 mini stock at a lot of the different tracks here in Ontario,
yep,
is going to tell us all about Ladies on the Oval, because she are one.
I'm looking forward to it.
And she is coming up on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
perfect! Woo! Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
The iconic Ked bringing us back. He's got his leg elevated right now. He's healing up after his knee replacement. Got a little message from him just before we hit the air. Want to see my knee? Nope.
No.
Don't want to see
it. Probably pretty ugly.
Yeah, it's probably sore. Don't want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he's healing up. I know he is, that's good.
I will say this about that.
Tell me this.
Bubba Pollard is going to be pissed because I'm absolutely blowing up his Twitter right now.
Are you?
I'm posting everybody's picks. So
you
can go to my Twitter,
yeah,
you know, at Joe Chisholm Jr.
Yeah.
And you can see everybody's picks from tonight's show thus far.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
of course, our next guest, we'll ask her as well.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't ask Terry.
No.
I don't think Terry would have a pick.
No, well,
Terry's kinda, more kinda a dirt and midget guy.
He is, yeah.
And he's not really a late model guy.
Probably not.
But our next guest is a late model girl.
Oh, I'll tell you. She may drive a mini stock, but I'll tell you what, she don't miss a trick. Let's welcome to the show, shall we? Driver, the number 81 mini stock driver. We got Samantha Shaw with us. Sam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. If I can spit it out, everything's going to work out well here. Samantha Shaw, I mentioned Ladies on the Oval. I was wrong. It's Ladies of the Oval, and that's what it is. So that's why no one's heard of it, or Junior didn't hear of it. He went, no, I know who Ladies of the Oval is. So, again, I put my foot in my mouth, but, hey, that's something that's fairly close to you. Tell us about Ladies of the Oval, shall you?
Well, I mean, I can't take any credit.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Did we lose her?
I think we lost Sam. We're going to have to get her back. I got to hit drop there. Susie
is going to have to dial
She is going to have to grab Sam back.
Sell hell.
Because she said, and then silence.
Just silence.
Crickets. I need to cue up one of those cricket sounds, right?
I can't do. Yeah, that's not a cricket sound.
Well, that's pretty close. That's as close as I can get.
That's terrible. I think we have her back.
Okay. I do believe we got Samantha Shaw back. As soon as Susie comes around the corner there. But that, it's a pretty cool program.
It is,
it
for sure.
It really is a cool program.
It is. And I touched on saying that she's a late model girl. She, of course, races in mini stocks, but is also a spotter for Steve Lakin.
And oh, is she?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So.
Well, we got Samantha back on the hotline. There we go. I don't know what happened there, Chick, but we did lose you.
Yeah, I don't really know what that was.
Yeah, so. Well, that's anyway. Okay. We got you back. Let's, before you sort of exited there, we were talking about Ladies of the Oval. Tell us what that program is.
Yeah, so basically it was a program made by Randy Seguin, created. Basically, it's no secret that it's a common theme in motorsports that, you know, ladies can't drive, we suck, that kind of thing. So it was really created to put a spotlight on the really the talent we have racing in Ontario, because there are girls in from go-karts to late models, dirt, everywhere that are racing and winning at all levels, and we wanted to show that without it becoming like a bikini contest or something. So
I hear Randy, you mentioned Randy. I'm not familiar with Randy. Where does Randy race?
She ran for years mini stock as well, ran it at Barrie Speedway till it closed, ran at Sunset, now has run, I believe, at Sauble for a few years, recently has been running at Full Throttle, so she's kind of been all over the place. I've run with her for a long time, so obviously I met her at Sunset and we became friends there. We have a similar outlook on the world, so.
Very good, and that's cool, Sam. Now, what has been created is a calendar, right? You guys got a 2020 calendar that's out?
Yeah, so this is the third year, I believe, of the calendar. We sell them for $16 each plus shipping, so all the money made actually goes into a sponsorship program that's open to any female driver racing in Ontario. So we open up the entries for that probably just after Christmas. We award that to a deserving female driver, so, you know, to help promote and get more women out there. And you know what? Everyone, you know, calendars are great sponsor gifts. I know I give them to my whole family because why not? But
that's too cool. Now, who's all in the calendar? Or I guess, well, you could tell us some of the highlights in the calendar.
Well, I mean, every year we have on our page, we open up a... people can enter their own cars and everything, and then it's just, you know, who the 12 with the most likes gets ends up in the calendar. So we have obviously Randy, myself, a couple of the Sunset girls. I know Andrea Lusk, Cheyenne Willman. Who else this year? We have quite a few that I don't know that are in dirt divisions and go-karts. I'm not as familiar with them. I know one is Kara Turner, younger girl. I believe she runs at Brighton. Caitlin Wallace from Flamborough. Those are the ones I can remember off the top of my head, but it covers, I think, five or six divisions and asphalt and dirt and everything. So
that is too cool. That is, it's definitely a neat initiative. You know, the spotlighting the talent, you know, I always say on the branding side, you know, it's, you've got to make waves. This is a cluttered sport, and you can fade into the background in a hurry in this sport. You know, you can be a part of the sport and not stand out. But if you stand out, you're going to attract corporate partners and you're going to attract sponsorship and all those great things. And funding is obviously super hard to find. And, you know, this initiative is sport-wide, which is so cool to see. You know, I gotta commend for sure. It's a great idea, you know, it's definitely neat. On the sponsorship side, obviously you guys have a cool logo and everything put together. Do you know who got the sponsorship this year? Was that you, or do you know who got it for 2019 by chance?
For this year, it was a girl who runs Brighton Mini Stock. Oh, okay. My goodness, Peterson.
Okay.
The last name's Peterson. I don't remember her first name right now, and I feel really bad about that. I should know it. But she actually, I believe it was her second year, she actually won her first feature race this year.
Cool.
So that helped her a ton. Like, it was really cool. I'm really excited to see who it goes to this year.
That is cool, Sam. How long has this been going on?
I think this is the third year of the calendar, and Randy just asked me to start helping out about halfway through this year. So we're really hoping to bring it to the next level, make it a bigger thing, make it so, you know, we don't get the what is that or who are you. So
that's cool. Sure. It really is. Susie actually said, hey, did you see this on Samantha Shaw's page? And I said, nope, I haven't seen it. So I took a look at it and said, that'd be a cool story. We better get Sam on here and talk about it.
Yeah, it's been really fun. We're actually, Randy and I will be at, I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but there is a mini stock build being planned for between Rick Schwartz, Brick Flamborough Speedway for Motorama this year. And Randy and I will both be in attendance to help build it and talk about it, promote both our division and women in racing. So that'll be really cool. Other than that, we're just hoping to basically create like a community, because there's not a lot of women in racing, be they in media, tech, anything. So we wanted to make it more accessible, more friendly.
Yeah, and you're doing it. I could tell you that. So let's point everyone at where they should go to get a calendar, where they can find out more information, where they can become part of it. Here it is.
So we have our Facebook page is Ladies of the Oval. Just search that, you'll find it. We are working on a website. It's not up yet, but we are hoping early in the new year you'll be able to find us there. As well, obviously, if you're interested in the calendar or anything, just message me or Randy and we'll get you sorted out.
And the cost on the calendar again is how much?
It's $16 plus shipping for the calendar. We also have stickers of our logo. I know you guys mentioned you saw it, so we sell those as well for $3.
Okay, cool. I want a calendar and I want a sticker. Do you guys take an e-transfer?
Yep, we can do that.
Okay, can you take care of sending me that?
I, of course, can
do
that for
you.
You
know what? The Ladies of the Oval is going to be hanging right here in the Racetime Radio studio. That will be our official calendar.
That's amazing. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that'll be cool. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait. And I'm going to try over this year, okay, because we got a lot of time here. This year, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to get everybody that's on that calendar, everybody that's featured on a month, we're going to get them on this radio show at one point throughout the course of the year.
I think that's an amazing idea. Anything we can do to help these girls out and give us more exposure, that's awesome.
Now let's take off the calendar hat and put on the helmet and talk about Samantha Shaw's racing endeavors. What does, obviously 2019 was a big year for you. You lit the lamp a bunch of times. and you had a great season going over at Sunset Speedway. Talk a little bit about the year. We've seen you travel a little bit and also seen you up in the spotter stand a little bit. So what was 2019 like, and what's on the horizon for 2020?
2019 in one word was busy, but I loved it.
Absolutely.
She loved it. She loved it. And away she goes. She's gone again, Junior.
What's happening right now?
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll bet you I've got this figured out. Sam is on a cell phone.
Yep.
And someone is either trying to call Sam. And as soon as it, oh, she's back. Okay, here, we're going to click this. We're going to click this. And
yep, we're good.
Hey, okay, you got to hold your left hand up in the air.
Hold
your left hand up in the air and stand on your right leg, and you'll get good
right?
reception.
Okay.
Might have to do that. You never know, being in the middle of the city.
Well, continue your thought there.
Yeah. It was really busy. We never planned to run full time. It just kind of happened, and we kept running well, and couple weeks in, I had a motor issue that took me out of the championship, but we were still able to win 5 of like 12 races or something ridiculous, so that was amazing. Went to Jocasta for the first time and finished 4th. Sauble, I ran in the top 5, and then a flat tire took me out, and then like it just was crazy. And then like Joe said, I was running, obviously I have my cousin Dale and Uncle Jake and all these family members in racing, and Steve asked me if I would spot for him this year, and he didn't run as much as expected, but I did get to spot at Jocasta, which was so intimidating but so cool.
Yeah.
So I enjoy just kind of every aspect, and I get to learn so much. I am surrounded by so many smart people. I just try to be a sponge and absorb it all, and so far it's starting to pay off, which is really cool. 2020, I have no idea what my plan is yet. I will be racing somewhere.
Yeah.
We're already working on our little car. It's going to be better, faster, probably look the same because I just love how it looks. I can't change it.
Yeah.
But we will be somewhere, likely Sunset for the most part. I love that track. And I'm hoping that Jocasta has another race, that Sauble has another big race for us. When you get all the mini stocks in the province in one place, it is an amazing show. We can run anywhere.
Well, for like sure. I said to you at Sauble Beach when I seen you after, I believe it was either a win or a second place finish at Sunset the night before, I said to you, young lady, it's in your DNA to do this and to go out and do well. The other secret to your success has got to be your grandmother's butter tarts, because I've been there, I've had them, and I felt real good after.
Oh, gosh. See, I'm not a butter tart fan, but everyone says they're really good, so maybe I should start.
No.
How can
you
be a Shaw and not like butter tarts?
Especially with Helen on your in your corner. That's okay, though. If you don't like them, just save them for old Joe.
Well, I mean, she also makes cookies and butter tarts and banana breads, and she makes anything that anyone mentions they like, and I love her for that. But I also don't eat when I'm racing, so anything she brings is just kind of there.
I had to just about hip-check Jeffrey out of the way the last time the tart bucket went around, I can tell you that. That was at Flamborough Speedway a lot of years ago, but I remember it. Jeff was just getting ready to get in, and I gave him a hip-check, moved him right out of the way, and I got it.
Yeah, that's a common thing. I get people coming into my trailer to check if they're there or not. Grandma doesn't get there as early as we do. So people will come in and check in, see if food's there yet.
I'm one of those people. I will say this about, you know, as well. You get better results because you have a horse on the side. And the other Shaw just doesn't run the horse anymore. So, you know, it's worth 2/10.
It's got to be.
When you paint the horse on the side of a race car, it's worth 2/10, for sure, 100%.
You think?
Yeah, it is.
It's got to be.
It is, for sure.
Well, it works on your car, Sam.
I mean, the irony of putting a horse on a Mustang was way too good for me to resist. That's
exactly.
Why it's there.
Yep.
And, you know, like, Grandpa ran it, and Jake ran it, Dale and I ran it our first years, it's a family thing now. It's just kind of become that, and that's kind of why it's there.
Well, that's why you guys get out there and giddy up, I can well imagine. Sam, we got the final question for you here tonight on Racetime Radio, and I want to remind everybody to go check out those calendars. I got mine coming. Ladies of the Oval is what you want to check on Facebook, and you can see everything that we've been talking about here tonight. Sam, I know you love short track racing. You are part of it. Who are you going to take in the Snowball Derby?
Honestly, I've thought about this so much. I was reading the entry list like before you guys called me, and just in awe of the names. Like, it's so impressive. I want to go one day. But I kind of out in left field, but not super far, just off third base sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Natty. I love him and I respect him. He's so much fun to watch, and I think he can get it done.
Now, you do get 3 picks, because everybody on the show tonight has got 3 picks. So you do get two bonus picks.
If you want them.
If you want to just lock in, you get more respect than everybody else, because everybody else chose to take 3.
I only took 2.
Well, you did. No, you took 3.
You forced me into the
third
one.
You threw Nassie into it.
Yes. Yeah,
see?
I did. Okay.
You took Nassie as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, Bob Dillner started this show off, and we were just supposed to, it was going to be 1 pick, and he copped out and went with 3. So now everybody else has got 3 picks. So you get 2 bonus if you want them. You know, no pressure or nothing.
Only 1 minute.
Well, I think I'm going to live and die on my Stephen Nassie stand over.
Wow.
Good for you,
Sam. Good for you.
Stephen Nassie got a big smile on his face right now, I bet. Good deal. Samantha, this has been great catching up with you tonight. And that calendar is cool. I can't wait till we have one here in the Racetime Radio studio. I know Susie will get everything wired up and get you the money. You let me know how much we owe you, and we'll get you that coin right away. And I want you to do me a favor. I want you to make sure you wish your whole family a Merry Christmas for us here at Racetime. And I know we can't wait to see what you're going to do in 2020 and where you end up. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we'll be sure to tell everyone you guys said hi. Obviously, Merry Christmas to you guys as well. And stay safe. Have fun.
You want to believe it? That is Samantha Shaw. You got to watch her. You got to watch her in a four-cylinder, drives to number 81 over at Sunset Speedway. You see her at all the tracks. You see her at Flamborough and Sauble and everywhere. She's always a ton of fun.
Absolutely. And just a racing family for sure. And she is you know, one of the biggest names in mini stock racing in Ontario. You know,
yeah,
when you look
yeah.
at the race this year at Sauble Speedway was so unique.
Craig Kamrath
and Image yep. Wraps and really their entire group, you know,
Next.
Corey Adams and Next Automotive and all those guys put on a special mini stock race at Sauble Speedway. Amazing attendance. What was it, like 32 cars?
Oh, 30, incredible.
I think it was 32 cars.
It was over 30, I guarantee you that.
And you know, it was a one-off deal. It's going to be coming back. Right?
I'm hoping.
Yeah,
got
hoping.
My fingers crossed.
Hoping
talk to Craig Cameron.
They're going to do more.
Yep.
You know, a huge car count. And like she said, she was running in that top five, you know, with the likes of, you know, Steckley and all those guys running right up front before having that tire issue. But she is a staple in racing and just a great cat.
I want to tell you, next Sunday, December the 8th, if you are in the Sauble Beach Racing Market, we got a meeting, a driver's meeting at the Sauble Beach Community Center. If you're one of those drivers that loves coming up to the beach and you're interested in the rules, I got to tell you, we got our meeting coming up next Sunday. We are going to do something totally different. If you want to find out what that totally difference is, you got to join us at 1 o'clock, Sauble Beach Community Center for Sauble Speedway. This is going to change the game. It's gonna. We've done enough talking about it. We've done enough figuring on it. Everyone that is connected to that speedway from a management side is sold on the idea. And I am the lucky guy that gets to roll it out next Sunday at 1 o'clock. I sure hope you can join us there. It's going to be cool. Remember, it's for Saturday night racing. It's not for everything. It's for Saturday night racing. And we want to re-energize Saturday night racing at Sauble Speedway. And you know what? I can see benefits going everywhere for it. I really can. And I can't wait for next Sunday. I'm so excited to roll this out. And we'll talk about it briefly next Sunday night on this show. And we're going to have another great guest lineup, you can well imagine. One other side note that I want to say. That Ladies of the Oval. I wanted to let you know, you got lots on the East Coast. You got lots on the West Coast. Wouldn't it be kind of cool if things could expand out and it could be right across Canada? That would be kind of cool.
They would need more than 12 months.
Well, you could always split the page and go too. I don't know.
I mean, fair enough.
You never know. Easy Ladies enough. From all over Canada, don't forget to get to that site. Follow it and put your comments on there. You never know.
Yes.
That's Racetime Radio started out talking about Sauble Speedway, and that was it.
Yep.
Now look it. Now we're talking to everybody, Canada, U.S., all the way across, and we sure do appreciate everybody tuning in. Again, to our American listeners, happy Thanksgiving. Get ready. Snowball Derby coming at you. Speed51.com. If you can't be in Pensacola, you got to be on Speed51.com, and you'll be able to watch. I know that's where we're going to be. We're going to be watching, and we're going to see you again next week right here on Racetime Radio. Have a good one, everybody. Have a safe week, and we'll have another show for you next Sunday night. Be sure to tune in right here on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig, dig, dig.
exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.